Finding Dave at the Expo, and a great interview with George Robb as we talk about producing your podcast from segments on this episode number 105 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements.
It's the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Hey, welcome to the School of Podcasting. I am Dave Jackson. I'm going to talk fast right now. I should probably slow down, but we have a lot to cover. We've got an interview with George Robb today, and it's kind of long, but it's a good interview, but it's going to make the show really probably one of the longest shows I've ever done, but I liked this interview. As I edited it down, I didn't really cut out a whole lot. So let's just get to the nitty-gritty stuff. First of all, thanks for tuning in. I am Dave Jackson. You can contact me. Email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Our phone number, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, is 888-563-3228. And, of course, our website, schoolofpodcasting.com, where you, yes, you, can get 20% off now through October 1st. That's right around the corner, so hurry up. Don't be tardy. Use the coupon code BTS. That's short for Back to School. Get 20% off your membership. And, of course, you can unsubscribe anytime, and there's a 30-day risk-free trial. If you don't like it, sign up, send me an email. I'll refund your money anytime during that first 30 days. And again, the coupon code is BTS. Also, we'll be giving away that Behringer Podcasting Toolkit to a subscriber when I come back from the expo. So the first week in October, I'll be giving that away to a member. That's the one with the mixer, the headphones, the microphone, the cables, the mic stand, everything all in one. From Behringer, so it's a $100 prize. That's cool. The other thing I want to mention is, and this is really weird for me. I've had some people, and not that I'm weird or I'm freaked out by this, but people that go, "Hey, I'd really like to meet you at the expo," and I really do appreciate that. Especially if you're a member of the School of Podcasting or if you're one of my listeners, I really do appreciate that. But to me, it's just, well, I'm just Dave. You know, I'm no big deal to meet. Whatever. So what we're gonna do is Friday. The last session is over at 4:15, and this is coming up, of course, not this week, but next week at the Expo. On the it's the 27th, 28th, and 29th, and 30th, or whatever it is. One second. I'm right out at the website there. And what I'm going to do is that first day, yeah, 28th through the 30th, and that first day at 4:15, find me at Ballroom A. I'll just be hanging out there. So if you'd like to meet me, I'd be more than happy to meet you. Especially if you're I'm looking for, you know, a lot of things, really. I'm planning on meeting people there, members, putting names with faces, things like that. I'm looking to grow my audience. That's another place I'll be. Saturday at 2 o'clock, I'll be doing a presentation on promoting your band with podcasting in room 203 ABC. That's Saturday at 2 o'clock, so that's another place I'll be if you're looking for me. So I'm looking to build my audience for my Musicians Cooler podcast. I'm looking for potential clients for my podcast consulting. That's podcastfastpass.com. If you're looking to, like, look, can somebody else just do it for me and I'll do the recording? Podcastfastpass.com is I'm going to be looking for that. And also, if you have a service for podcasters, you know, voiceover or, you know, any kind of, you know, like the sound ideas, you know, they gave me a discount on their podcast toolkit, anything like that. I'm going to be looking for networking at the expo. So what's your plan for the expo? You should have that in place by now. So you can meet me again Friday, 4:15-ish, you know, by the time I get done with my last seminar, and I'll be running over to Ballroom A, and you can meet me there, and it'll be great fun. I'm looking forward to the expo. It's right around the corner. And like I said, I'm going to shut up now. I'm already kind of rambling too long. We're talking with George Robb, and again, this is... I think George has a great idea of having multiple segments, and he's a silly, goofy man. And so here's my interview with George Robb. You can spell his last name, H-R-A-B, and you can find him at geologicpodcast.com. All right, on the Skype phone, joining us from geologicpodcast.com, we have George Robb. And I put a comment on your podcast. I said, I want to invent a podcast award show so I can award George like most creative dude on the planet ever. So, George, thank you very much for coming on the show.
That comment just warm cockles, my friend, warm cockles. It was just great. I just saw it this morning and it was like, yeah, cool. So thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it.
But George's podcast is just one that I'm going to say kind of has the Howard Stern effect. Now, by that, I don't mean that he's talking about naked people and things like that. It's the fact that when I push play and I'm getting ready to listen to the Geologic podcast, I kind of have an idea what I'm going to hear, but more importantly, I really have no idea what I'm going to hear. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about is making little segments for your podcast, and is it easy, is it hard, and things like that. So let's first start off with a little George history here. And how long have you been doing the podcast?
The podcast I started back in January, I think. That was my first show. We're at show 31 so far. I've been doing one a week, pretty diligently, trying to do at least one a week. It's been 6 months or whatever it is. I guess that is 7 months now. Oh, well, 8 months. And before that, I had a radio show that I did at a local college here. Lehigh University had a radio station, and they have a pretty vibrant community radio program. So I knew one guy that ran the station, and he got in touch with me and said, would you be interested in just playing tunes, you know, being spinning tunes at night or whatever? And I said, I'd love to do it, but instead of spinning tunes, could it be more of a talk show? Because there's nothing like that on that channel. Could it be like a comedy/talk show? So he said, sure, whatever you want to do, you know, as long as, you know, you follow the rules, no cursing, no whatever, you can do whatever you want. So I had Tuesday nights from, I think it was like from 11 to 1 in the morning or something like that. And, you know, nobody listened to it, and it was almost like a lab kind of test and an experiment. And I did that for the summer of 2006 and really enjoyed it, but felt limited by, I had to have station breaks, I had to do PSAs, I had to hit certain marks, I had to keep a log, I had to do all this stuff, which in the big picture is no big deal, but to me it sort of impinged upon the spontaneity and fun of it. And then after going to Dragon Con last year and meeting all these fantastic podcasters, I just thought, you know what, this is the perfect venue to do this kind of silly, stupid stuff without having to do a PSA about, you know, fire safety every 26 minutes. I have to do radio IDs or do that kind of stuff that I always would forget and then get in trouble and not keep my log and blah, 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 blah. This, you know, if I want to do an hour, I can do an hour. If I want to do half an hour, I can do a half an hour. And it just sort of started, and I adapted some of the bits I had been doing on radio and have added some since, and it seems to be going okay.
Now, if you had to describe your podcast to somebody, how would you... Because Well, it's the Geologic podcast,
yeah.
You know, but how would you...
Again, I love when actual science people come and they expect it to be some kind of an actual, you know, geology-based thing, which is always fun. Every now and then I'll get a comment like, there's not much science here. Like, well, no, that's not the point. It's just, it's a, you sort of did nail it with the Howard Stern comparison. I do talk about naked people sometimes, just for relevance. But it's a bunch of different... observations and skits. It's a combination of sketches and talking about things that happened to me in my life, you know, being a working musician, observations. We have little bits that are recurring. It's sort of a plug-and-play situation where there's 10 to 15 sort of rotating bits or segments, and you never know which segment you're going to get in any particular week. There's also sometimes completely things out of left field that I like to sort of do to really keep people guessing. A few weeks ago, I had a week where I had 4 gigs in a row, plus I saw the Police. So it was like from Wednesday through Sunday, I just had this crazy schedule, and I decided to, instead of doing the regular show, I would just talk about those 4 or 5 days and write it all out and kind of really do it as a fixed, different approach, like more of a complete program that was through composed, less improvised. So that happens sometimes. I did a show once that it was an archive show from the 40s or from the 50s.
Yes.
It was the Geologic podcast from 1951 or whatever it was. And just, again, a little bit of a different thing. And we've talked about this in the past. I like to reward people for paying attention. And by the fact that you never know what's going to come up next, you sort of have to pay attention. So that it's not like, okay, we're at the third segment, and the third segment of the show is always this. And you can kind of get into a lull, so folks never know what to expect, and that to me is part of the enjoyment and the fun of doing it.
Now, let's go through some of the segments. I mean, we've got the religious morons of the week. You've got interesting fauna. You've got indestructible bastards.
Yes. Again, it's all really silly stuff, and some of it is more commentary based than others, and some of it is just silly. I mean, just stupid. Which there's a real appeal to stupid to me sometimes. For instance, you know, Grandma's Entertainment Report is, you know, my grandmother calls in and basically reads from Entertainment Weekly and makes little comments about, you know, what she thinks about Jessica Alba and things like that. Indestructible Bastards is just true stories. Rupert McClanahan, who's one of my correspondents, he calls in and reads about people that you know, people like Rasputin, who just could not be killed. There's the Religious Moron of the Week, which is a very, that's probably my most popular one. People seem to really like that and connect with it. And I've gotten to the point where my listeners are now sending me links, so I don't even have to hunt for those. So someone will see someone being stupid in a religious context, whether it's, you know, it's a Christian, Muslim, spiritualist, anything, and they'll send a link and they'll say, here's a Religious Moron of the Week, and it's just, it's wonderful that it's just, you know, it's the listener generated content. We just premiered a bit this week that I had done originally on my radio program and hadn't done on the podcast, and it's Gio's mom reads Jay-Z lyrics, and that's where I call my mom, and it's actually my mom, it's not me doing the voice, it's actually my mom, and she reads Jay-Z lyrics, and then we just talk about what she's doing, and it's just, the incongruence of it to me is just so stupidly funny that I just, you know, again, I find it entertaining, and if I find it entertaining, that's pretty much the rule that allows it to come on. Then there's interesting fauna, there's the physics minute. If there's some little bit of physics news or something that I find interesting, I'll talk about that for a second. We have trigonometry with Alexis.
Yes.
Which is just Alexis trying to talk about, you know, the value of N, you know, in any kind of equation and things like that. And it's just fun, it's silly. It's something to, a lot of code writers tend to like my show because they just put it on and kind of can turn their brain off as they write the code and just listen to it. So I have a lot of people commenting like, I have a really boring job and it's great that I can, for an hour, I put your show on and just for an hour I can at least, you know, have my brain run away while my fingers type, you know, the monkey code that they have to write. So,
well,
and that makes me so happy. Makes me so happy.
Well, and the beauty of it is there are plenty of podcasts that make me giggle. George, yours is one that just makes me laugh out loud. So, I mean,
that's another bit is that apart from these sort of fixed weekly recurring things, I'm a huge Stan Freberg fanatic, and you know, and Monty Python, and classic, you know, Saturday Night Live sketches and things like that. So I also do sort of self-contained sketches, which is just, to me, it's just a fun experiment. Something will happen to me in my daily existence and just go, oh, this has got to be a sketch. Like, for instance, this week we had the continuing adventures of the pretentious percussionist, where I was at a coffee shop in New Paltz and this guy was giving a lecture about drums, and it was so, it crossed that line from being the most awful thing to being the best thing, because it was so entertaining. You know, you get that thing where you're just sitting at some event or some kind of a something, and it's awkward, and you're just embarrassed, and it's terrible, and you're feeling really weird, and then it just steps over the line, and you go, oh, this is the best theater I could possibly be. So we ended up doing, you know, and I was just like, well, this has got to be a sketch. So that was this week, this sort of thing. Or the gay or Southern thing was another thing. When I went to Dragon Con this week, I kept meeting these guys that just, to me, sounded so gay, but they were not. They were just, you know, Southern guys that sort of sounded, and I thought, that's got to be a game show.
Get 2 out of 3 right and you get our 2 for 3 prize, but go 3 for 3 and you get our fabulous prize.
Fabulous!
Are you ready to play?
I'm real excited to play, Rip.
Okay, let's play Gay or Southern.
You know, because someone told me, just, oh, it's great to see you. How you doing? Have you met my wife? She's just such a fan of your work. Your wife? You know, I mean, and not a judgment, just like, wow, do you realize you're a caricature? So it's that kind of stuff happens, and I do these little sort of stupid sketches. So on top of everything else, so I'm glad that you chuckle wholeheartedly.
Well, that was going to be my question. So how long does it take? Because the show's typically around 45 minutes. How long does it take you to? Because you're doing this on a weekly basis, how long does it take you to actually put together a show?
You know, it depends how many pre-recorded sketches I have. Like a 5-minute sketch, let's say, will be, if you count the writing of it, probably is like 2 to 4 hours, maybe 2 to 3 hours. You know, writing is usually about half hour, an hour, depending if it's happening, if things are really flowing. Like this show for this week's show, this past week's show was, I had two sketches, two like 5-minute sketches and then some finished segments. And I did a segment with my mom. Probably that whole show was maybe 10 hours of work, maybe 8 hours of work. Yeah, probably that. It's usually like Monday night, you know, from like 9 to 2 in the morning I work, and then Tuesday night from like 9 to 2 in the morning I work. And that's kind of the time that I slot for it. And then record it live, essentially, insert the bits that I have, and take it from there. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. If I'm doing elements, I have a thing where I do one song per element on the periodic tables. That can take longer sometimes because there's little mini songs that I do. And then sometimes if I'm just doing prearranged, you know, bits, that might not be as long. I just go online, find things to talk about, and do it. So it varies anywhere from, you know, 5 hours to 10 to, or like, for instance, the archive show from the 40s was a half-hour show, which is the shortest show I've done in terms of actual show content, but that was like 20 hours of work.
Wow.
Just to get the old bits and to do, and there were so many sketches, and the whole thing was essentially 30 minutes of one sketch, so re-recording voices and all kinds of stuff. And you know, you're in the middle of it, and you're going, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this? Am I insane? And then you get a nice comment from someone saying, you know, you're the most creative effer in the world, and that's just, that makes it worth it. So,
well, that's the other thing we should point out. As much as we're talking about Grandma and, who's the one guy that...
Rupert McClanahan.
And the one guy about the grammar...
Manoisha and Terriberg, yeah, Rabbi. Yeah. Rabbi Manoisha and Terriberg.
As we mention all these people, realize they're all George. So George is very gifted in the world of putting on voices and dialects and things like that.
Right. It's just the deep respect I have for Stan Freberg, who could do it really well, that scarily well, or like a Harry Shearer. Mm-hmm. You know, you listen to Harry Shearer's show, and it's so inspiring to hear him do that kind of stuff. And again, it's just my sort of pseudo crappy version of a Harry Shearer sketch or something like that. So yeah. Well, yeah, except for my mom. My mom's real. That's the one. Someone once wrote during the radio show, and they're like, "Man, how are you doing that? That's so real sounding." I'm like, "No, that's my actual mother. She's just so cool that she's into it." So,
well, you kind of alluded to this earlier. You said if it doesn't entertain you, it doesn't get on the show. Do you have anything that you've kind of like you've had it on the fence, and you said, "No, I'm not going to do it." I mean, in terms of picking your content.
Yeah, there's bits that have come and gone. I had the Robert Zimmerman stock report, which was just like Bob Dylan singing about the stock market. You know, like, yeah, S&P up 5 5/10. And that's just like, it was like such a limited joke that I couldn't do more than 8 seconds of it. So like that had a fiery death. That just flew into the side of the mountain. Or little stuff like that, or a concept. Usually it won't get past the concept stage because there's so much time involved. I'll be able to tell, like, you know what, okay, this isn't going anywhere. Like I had a Monsters of Doo-Wop thing once that just like, I started working on it and it didn't go anywhere. And I thought, all right, you know what, this isn't, I'm not going to force it. You know, if it doesn't happen organically, you get the spark for an idea like Gay or Southern. And that to me is always the hardest thing is the concept. When the concept pops in your brain, for me personally, the details are, that's the easy part, because that's just grunt work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where you just, okay, again, you know, let's have a rabbi talk about something. What would be funny? Because I got this voice about, you know, Menoshe and Tarabek, he can discuss something. What should I talk about? What would be incongruous for a rabbi to talk about? How about grammar? Ooh, perfect. You know, and then like, then the bit just writes itself. You know, and that's the hardest thing, is getting that idea of, okay, is it going to be a cooking show, a rabbi cooking? That's not bad. That might work. But then, like, oh, that would involve this. What bugs me? Ooh, grammar mistakes really bug me. And then it can then by proxy bug the rabbi, and then the bit just writes itself, you know. So usually it's got to make me smile kind of right from the start. And then I know, all right, this should work. And 3 minutes into working on it, I usually go, okay, this is just going to be a question of putting pen to paper and getting it to happen, or finger to keyboard, whatever the term is, the millennial term is now, and making it work.
So you're actually typing this out and going that route. This isn't off. It's off the top of your head, but you actually.
Yeah, the sketches you have to type out, because when you're doing multiple voices.
Oh yeah, it's true.
I couldn't keep it in my head as to what's what. So you know, I record each character on his own to keep the integrity of the voice. Because it's hard to jump back and forth. They just tend to all sound like the same character after a while. So I'll highlight, okay, here's character A. You do all those lines with like breaks in between. This is all in GarageBand, so it's really straightforward. That's the beauty of GarageBand too, is like I have no idea what I'm doing, but GarageBand is so easy to use that you can do it. And then you do the second part, and then you put them all together. Whereas the bit, something like Religious Morning of the Week, I'll just go find the story, I'll edit it down to make it presentable, and then as I'm reading it, I'm just doing it off the top of my head, sort of inserting comments, you know, or if I'm telling a story from something that happened to me during the week, that's sort of off the top of my head to make it more like just a conversation. I got to tell this story. This thing happened, you know, last week. I was at a gig and blah, 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 blah. And that to me is the extemporaneous thing. I don't know if you can tell, but I like to just sort of talk extemporaneously. I know it doesn't come across that way.
Now, you've, obviously you're a musician. You've got numerous CDs. I've actually interviewed George before for the Musician's Cooler. Phenomenal just drummer and arranger and producer. You just name it. He's great stuff. And you also have a book. Now, is the podcast leading to, I mean, are you having people show up at your music shows going, I love your podcast, or have you had people, you know, buy your, it's a non-coloring book?
Non-coloring book is the name of the book. Yeah, everything sort of, it's neat how there are different segments of, you know, my 15-person audience that have come to it from different places. So you have people that know the music part of it, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's got a podcast, oh, cool. Or there's a person that, you know, knows me playing with the funk band, the Philadelphia Funk Authority, as a drummer, and then someone will be like, oh, yeah, you know, you played my sister's wedding, and I went to a link, and I realized you've got this blog. And then from the blog, I went and found that you wrote a book, and from the book, I saw that you have all these albums. You know, so people come to it from all different sides. But I think if you like one aspect of it, that if you like the podcast, you'll like the book, because it's a very similar approach. You know, it's that kind of eclectic, goofy, silly, serious thing. You know, that whole geologic universe sort of is all of a piece. So yeah, so everything leads to everything else, and it's all of a certain flavor, shall we say, or whatever you want to call it. You know, so people come to it from all different sides.
Now, you've been doing this now, obviously, you said, for 8 or 9 months now. Is there anything you're doing now that has sped up the process that you didn't do when you first started?
I think having the more and more bits that I can go to makes it more efficient, so that I'm not, when I first started, I had 5 bits, and pretty much every show had those 5 bits. Now that I have 15 or 20 bits, I can kind of rotate them, and if I haven't found a religious moron for that week, if no one's been an idiot in the news, or there hasn't been a bit of physics news, or there's nothing going on in terms of some interesting thing grandma can talk about, it's okay, because there's enough of a backlog there's enough other segments that I can go and fill it in. So that makes it, I'm less anxious for material. And every week I'm going, you know what, if you just do a half an hour, that's okay.
Right.
You know, no one is saying you have to do 45 minutes or 55 minutes or whatever. There's no rule. That's what's so lovely about this format, is that if for some reason I only have, heck, even 20 minutes or a half hour material, it's okay. I might personally feel like I'm letting people down or something, but it's okay. That hasn't happened yet, because invariably I'll be doing stuff and I look at the clock and 46 minutes have gone by, and it's like, oh, geez, I still have, you know, 3 segments I don't have to get to, and I can save them for some other thing. So that's changed. And then just recently, I've found a muse, which has just inspired me, and I'm so fired and so jazzed. You know, sometimes you just, something happens to you and you feel like you've sort of woken up, or that you're seeing the world in Technicolor all of a sudden. It sort of has happened to me in the last 2 weeks, actually. So it's amazing that you've gotten in touch with me since this has happened, because it's almost like independent confirmation. So it's nice.
Now, I know you mentioned in this week's show that you're doing like a best of show.
Yes.
Is that just George needs a vacation? Or you mentioned, and I apologize, because I'm like halfway through this episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You kind of mentioned that you want like your current listeners to point new listeners to that episode. Is that the purpose of the best of show then?
Exactly. I'm not gonna skip a show. It's gonna be an addition. I'm probably gonna put it up today, actually. So those that have subscribed to the cast will get just a bonus show this week, which will be just the best of. If they want to listen to it, fine. If not, they already know, they've heard the bits if they've been with me since the beginning. Maybe they haven't. The experience at DragonCon was really great, and I think I made a lot of new friends there, a lot of new acquaintances, and some might be pointing people. And it's kind of like, you know, someone comes up to me and says, okay, I want to know more about Frank Zappa. Where do I start? And you go, you know, because there's 65 records. It's like, where do you start? I always point them to, like, some live albums that are sort of a good place to start learning about Frank Zappa, what he's about. That if you don't like this stuff, you probably won't be into him. You know, but if you do, there's ways to expound from that. So I thought, not that I'm comparing myself to Frank Zappa, believe me, but just I thought, okay, let me do a best of show. Let me grab some of these bits from the last 8 months, some of the best sketches, put it together, and then if someone, you know, says to me, oh, you have a podcast, cool. Like, what should I can say? You go to show 32, start there, because then you'll learn what some of the characters are. Again, because there's a lot of, you know, loops within loops. You know, it's a hall of mirrors sometimes, self-referential things that if you're a fan of the show, you love and you get. And if you don't know the show, you might not understand a joke or two. Hopefully not too much. Hopefully it just enhances your enjoyment of the show that you know, certain characters will appear and reappear and do that kind of stuff. But you jump in at the best of and can just start there. And if the humor isn't your bag or what's going on isn't your bag, then you're not going to probably enjoy the rest of the show. Whereas if you do enjoy it, then hopefully you'll be a regular subscriber and we can foment a relationship together and go into the future as friends.
Yeah. Well, any advice for any advice for new podcasters?
Do it. You know, do it and don't feel that you have to live up to anything. The beauty of this medium is, you know, you can do as much or as little as you want. I mean, sometimes you hear podcasters talk about, yeah, I did 27 hours this week, and I'm going to have to do 50 hours next week, and then I have this kind of gear, and I have this kind of microphone, and this kind of a thing, and you just go, oh, geez, there's no way I can get into this. You can get a $15 microphone and, you know, and a copy of GarageBand, and you can put together a 5-minute cast that you do every week, every month, every whatever. It is so, if you're someone who has a creative bent or wants to take advantage or wants to build on some creative idea you have or just like to talk about, you know, dinosaurs. I mean, whatever. It's such a lovely medium that you can do this. And if you're okay with not having thousands of downloaders, thousands of listeners, but you want to do this because you just want to do this, and that's sort of the most important part. Do it because you enjoy it and you want to talk about it, and if other people want to enjoy it, great. If they don't enjoy it, hey, you know, eat chain. This is my show. This is what I want to talk about, and you'll find your audience eventually. Somehow it'll kind of, whether it's 20 people or 100 people or 1,000 people or whatever, you'll find your audience because there's enough folks out there that have exactly the same interest as you do, and you don't even realize it, which is the incredible thing, again, about this podcasting thing, that you can have the most obscure topic, and you'll have hundreds of people who want to talk about it. So as long as you're being honest with yourself in terms of this is what I want to talk about, this is what I love, find your voice, be your voice. You know, don't think, oh, this will be appealing to this kind of audience. Because if you want to do that, be on radio. If you want to do that, you know, do something where there isn't the freedom to do whatever you want, which is what I love about this. And sometimes I go to these podcasting conferences and stuff, and there's all this talk about, oh, we got to know our audience, and we got to know this, and we have to be careful not to curse, and we have to be this. And I'm like, guys, that's the whole point. I mean, isn't the whole point of this that we can do whatever the F we want to do? I mean, isn't that sort of the whole point? You know, and I'm shocked sometimes, and you know, or you get a negative comment from someone on a message board saying, you know, George, you talked about this religious moron for 40 minutes. I mean, enough. I mean, why are you doing that? And I'll be like, okay, I realize that by law you're required to download my podcast. I know that by law you have to listen to the entire show, and I know by law you have to, you know, not fast forward to the bits you like. It's like, screw you. I'm doing this for me. If you enjoy it, wonderful. Come on aboard. Well, it'll be a blast. If not, there's 6 trillion other things you could do with your life and your time, as opposed to, you know, writing me some negative comment or wasting your time on my cast. So,
Now, do you have any aspirations of someday having a sponsor or anything like that? That seems.
It would be great. It would be lovely, but.
I sense that's not really what you're in it for.
No, I started it just to, you know, entertain a couple people, hopefully, that might have liked my records. If someone at some point wants to throw a few bucks, you know, again, I have a friend now who does have a very popular cast, and she has to put these commercials in from the BBC, because she, like, BBC America is like one of her sponsors kind of thing, mm-hmm. which to me is like, holy shit, that's great. Like, my God, that's amazing. And to her, it's a pain in the ass. Mm. You know, because it's sort of, it's got to cut the show in half, and she's got to put this thing in, and I can totally see that it's a very mixed blessing. you know?
Right.
Like, I don't even like to put bumpers in my show because I like to have it be the show. That if someone is downloading the Geological Podcast, you're going to get 45 minutes of content. That's it. You know, if you want to watch commercials, you'll put on the radio or watch TV or whatever. For me, like, I mean, I love to point people towards other podcasts and friends of mine and stuff like that, but I don't even like to put bumpers in because it's like, you know what? In this medium, we don't have to have commercials. We don't have to have any kind of stuff. And I think people are so starved for content that if you tune into my show, you know you're going to get 45 minutes of content. So, yeah, if I had a banner on the side of my site that said, you know, go to whatever, you know, croquet.com and get your croquet mallets here, and I'd take $5 from them a month or whatever it would be, sure. But, excuse me, I'm the same way I never compromise in terms of the records that I've put out. Like, oh, is this too long? Is this commercial enough? Is this or the book? You know, like, I curse a lot, and I'm never going to modify that so that, oh, you got to tone the language down so that Amazon will be one of your sponsors. Like, I hope I never get to that point. If it gets to be, you know, if this is too much work for me at some point, then I'll just stop, you know, and I'll have a nice archive of stuff. I mean, as it is, I have, you know, whatever, 33 hours, essentially, of stuff, which is... if that's my legacy in the podcasting universe, hey, I'll deal with it. That's fine, you know. If someone out there wants to throw me a few bucks, hey,
absolutely.
No problem.
That's
no
right.
problem. Or if you want to buy a book, you know, that's the thing that I'm hoping that this does, is that this people get drawn in to the podcast on a weekly basis. And then as I put albums out, as I put books out, things you can buy or download or do whatever, people won't be able to help but buy that stuff. And that's sort of the purpose, you know, apart from entertaining me, entertaining friends of mine. That is kind of the revenue generator, is that, man, this guy's funny. Holy crap, he's got records out. I wonder what these records sound like. Okay, oh, he wrote a book. Oh, I'll spend the $15 and get the book. That's kind of the purpose of it, you know.
Beautiful. All right. Well, again,
there was another point too. Just real quickly, that came up, that someone mentioned the incredible Evo Terra, who's got a website called funanymore.com. He brought up this point because I remember talking to him and being upset when I first started that only, like, I was getting 300 downloads, you know, a week or something. I was like 250 or 300 or 400 downloads a week, and you see other people that get, you know, 1,000, 10,000, 50,000 downloads, and was thinking, like, you know, what am I doing? Is this worth it? And he said, again, to prospective podcasters out there, he said, imagine if you were had a weekly town meeting, let's say, where you did a performance, and every week 400 people showed up. So that would be amazing. Like, you would be so satisfied with that. And I thought, yeah, if there was some coffee shop here or something, and I was doing like an hour show every Tuesday night, and 400 people showed up, or 500 people, or 700 people showed up, you know, now we're up to, you know, over 1,000 or whatever, I would be so happy with that. But because here, since it's sort of virtual and you don't see the actual people, the actual numbers sitting in a room, you think, oh, it's only 300 people. Like, don't be discouraged by numbers. Even if it's 75 people, you know, it might be 75 people that shouldn't, there's no reason why they should know you. You know, I get people in the Netherlands that download my podcast. There's no reason why someone in New Zealand should know who I am. And yet every week I get to talk to them in their brain. And if they're only one of 500 people, hey, it's the coolest thing that we can do that with this medium. So don't be discouraged with low numbers or whatever, because it's meaningless, because the people that get it, love it, will be entertained by it, and it'll just grow. So. One little last point there, sorry.
No, absolutely. That's yeah. I just started a new podcast, and I think the last time I checked, I have 55 listeners. And I know that, you know, in a year from now, that'll be, you know, I'll be up to 64 listeners. You know, so, you know, it's...
Aim high, my friend, aim high. Exactly. Hey, there's 50 people that, you know, and they could be all over the world, for all you know. You know, and it's like... It's so cool.
It is, actually. It's some of them are in Australia. Some of them are, you know, it's, you know.
And why should they know who you are? I mean, there's no reason why they should know who Dave Jackson is. And yet, every week they're going to be tuning in. So it's like real magic, you know, for this atheist skeptic guy that I am. This is like actual magic. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, there's no incantation. There's no potion. Just every week I magically can be in your head for an hour.
Absolutely.
What else do you need?
There you go. Well, one thing we should point out, you can find George at geologicpodcast.com. I'll have a link to that out in the show notes, or the shore notes if you're by the ocean. It's the shore notes.
Sure.
Or if you want to just look for George, George's last name is H-R-A-B or O-B? A-B.
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 H-R-A-B. Put that in Google, and like I'm the I think the first 36,000 things.
So
yeah, it should be pretty easy to find.
There you go. Well, George, thank you very much for coming on the show. And
thank you. It's so great to talk to you again, man. I really appreciate you you having me on. It's great.
And there you go. My interview with one George Rupp, one creative dude. Absolutely. And so a couple cool things there. Again, we talked about the whole pieces parting together a podcast. It's kind of fun. But also, George has the idea now. He has it's listed as Geologic Podcast Episode 31.1, and I'll have a link to this out in the show notes. So if you, it's kind of a best of show, and that's not a bad idea. Why not make a page for, hey, are you new here? And you know, maybe put a link there to learntosubscribe.com. You know, so people want to, you know, subscribe to their podcast. They can watch my tutorial, and that'll teach them how to that, as well as have a best of show. You know, have a link there if people want to subscribe via email, whether it's FeedBlitz or FeedBurner, things like that. You know, have a, hey, are you new here kind of page. That's not a bad idea. And like he said, it's he put together what he feels is a show that will either A, you know, make people want to subscribe, or B, they're going to go, this guy's an idiot. So I'm not of a, this guy's an idiot. I think George is very creative. Like I said, I listen to his show a lot of times just because I want to hear what he's going to do next, and a very talented dude. So that's going to do it. Thank you very much for tuning in. Again, this is typically our shows are about half this length, but with interviews, I every time I listen to a question, I'm like, I'm not going to cut that out. I liked it. So thank you very much for tuning in. I am Dave Jackson. Just a reminder, a little quick shameless plugging here. BTS is the coupon code you want to use at schoolpodcasting.com to get 20% off. And my email, dave@schoolpodcasting.com. Our toll-free number, 888-563-3228. You can get your own toll-free number. Go over to podcastvoicemail.com. And everything we talked about is at shownotes.schoolpodcasting.com. Thanks for tuning in. Also, again, I will be at the Expo, Ballroom A, Friday, 4:15-ish. I'll be more than happy to meet you there. That'll be great. That's where you can find me. That's where you'll find me. So thanks for tuning in. And until we meet again, blast dismissed.